welcome. This is it. Children, this is your time for Shabbat school. You ready for Shabbat school? Please do head to the back. J.D. Timken, the extraordinaire, Marianne will meet you back there. And if you're good, you'll come back someday. If you're really good, no, you know what? If you're not good, we're going to give you a puppy. And that'll teach your parents. I'm just teasing you. I hope you know I'm kidding. Michael, do you know I'm kidding? I hope other people know I'm kidding. So a couple of the quick announcements, just logistical things. We do believe in tithes and offerings here. And there's a couple ways we do it. We do it online. You can go to BethMessiah.us if you're into the electronic giving. Or there's some boxes in the back. And we had a breakthrough. You Bethites, you'll be happy to know that we have actually labeled the boxes in the back. Our first couple weeks in the room, they were just boxes in the back. And people said, where are the boxes in the back? So now they're labeled and they're hanging in the wall, one under the exit sign and one on the other side of the door. Yes. So many things I want to talk about. How many of you know about scuba diving? We could start there. I'm kidding. I do have a lot of things I want to talk about, and I won't. I'm just going to get to it. I want to introduce our speaker today. I'm very, very glad to have him here. And his name is Paul Burby. He's from Nashua, New Hampshire. He's not a Milwaukeean. It's evidence that God moves in the East Coast. A good man like Paul is doing what he does there. But I was thinking, how do I properly introduce him? Now, he's spoken here. He's a very close friend of the house. But you see, he's a bit of a challenge to introduce. And I don't know. Have you ever heard that before, Paul? Yeah. He said my wife says it all the time. So here's the deal with, I'm going to try to do this very quickly. He's been to 36 different countries with a missionary approach. So when he goes to the countries, he's not vacationing in 36 different places. He goes for missions from the Lord, you know, in different atmospheres, different zones. He's the guy who connected us to Nepal, the anti-child sex trafficking organization, Nepal. And some of you are here several weeks ago where the Nepalese came and they spoke and they shared. It was Pastor Paul Burby that made that connection for us. So he goes all over the world and he goes to places. Most of the places he goes they're not first world places. He stayed in some pretty, we'll say, rustic conditions. Is that fair? Challenging conditions. And he's been all up Myanmar and Iraq, India, of course, Nepal, all over. So that's one whole side. And if we spoke just on that, we go, wow, that guy's really a busy guy. He has a church. He leads a congregation. He doesn't lead one congregation. He has four groups. He has a typical American Sunday church he leads in Nashua, New Hampshire, called Gate City Church. But he's also got three other congregations that meet there as well. One is a Ukrainian, is that fair to say? Slavic, Brazilian, and then Indian, yes? So he's got these three. This is an American man, and you think, how does this happen? Only God can do this in somebody who's American, to have these multiple, these international congregations, but they kind of stem out of this one congregation. He's got a deep heart for Israel and a deep heart for the Messianic community. At one point, he served on the board of Tikkun Global, and we're part of Tikkun and Tikkun America, but he's part of Tikkun Global, and it's their sisters. They have a very close relationship between these two groups. And he's just got a very deep heart for Israel. He recognizes Israel in the last days and the value of it and the scriptures, how Israel is a driving force of what goes on. That's not enough about Paul. See, I've just described two major things, right? We've got, you know, this element international and then what's going on in his own thing that he does Monday through Friday, so to speak. And then also Israel. But there's a little bit more to him. Because his congregational building is in a pretty location, pretty sweet spot in Nashua, New Hampshire. You ever heard of the New Hampshire primaries? They really launch off a lot of our political season. He has a large congregational building and large congregations. So a lot of politicians are invited to speak at open houses and town halls in his building. And he has met kind of a who's who of political leaders. And he himself has got a very strong arm connected to a lot of political happenings in on the East Coast, New England, and New Hampshire itself. And I mean, a lot of happenings and a lot of people. You would be really amazed at the political leaders that he has met and that he knows. Scott Walker, our governor, is one of them. There was a conference. At one point, Paul hosted an international conference of congregational leaders. Of course he did. That's one more thing in the pile, you know. And I was speaking, and I see Paul. He gets up and he leaves in the middle of my message. And I look at him. Do you remember this? Where are you going, man? I didn't say it, but I'm thinking, hey. So what I did say was, it's going to get better. I didn't know where he was going. So afterward, he came back, and he's a very polite guy, by the way. I'm not picking on him. I just wondered what he was doing. He came back afterward and said, oh, I got a phone call from Mike Pence's advance team, and they wanted to scout the building. Oh, okay. So he's connected that way politically to lots of people. But that's not why he's here. There's another reason why. So this is, how do you describe Paul Burby? Last year, we were looking at buying the building. We hadn't made our offer, and I brought Paul to the lot, and not even inside. And we just talked about the values of the building, the location and the neighborhood and what it would take to renovate. And I said, do you think it's a good idea? And he said, and I could pretty close to quote you. He said, you'd be a fool not to, but I know, let no man call you fool. That's not what I mean. But you know, there's a lot going on here. You really got to think about this. And he was really a driving force. So I asked him yesterday before, when I picked him up at the airport, I said, would you please think of this building with some ownership that you yourself were involved in buying this building? Because that's how I feel about him. And I think that's how our elders feel. It's a very cool thing that he gets to see here. But that's not why he's here. He's here because he's our friend. He's here because he's a man of God. He's here because we love him, because we go back in history with him for a long time. He's very, very exceptionally close with my dad. My dad feels very strongly for Paul. I do. I know that my family does, and I know that we do. You Bethites who have known him, you just see him as a real anchor in the faith. And he's here because of the relationships. The other things are bonuses, they're blessings, they're wonderful things to have, and we share in common with him. But there's something very special about the relationship that we have. So, Pastor Paul Burby from Nashville, New Hampshire, would you please come on up?
Everybody. Okay, thank you, Lord. If you want to turn the high mid way down, if you're able to do that, then I won't sound like a duck. Well, my name is Paul Burby, and I've been pastoring now for, this is my 41st year. And I met Frank Sussler in Anchorage, Alaska. We both went to Bible school together, and really developed a good friendship, and I think you guys came out a couple years before I did. We started in 1984, you're 81, so you're 3 years farther along than we are. And we took, you know, Frank was in the Air Force, just like I was, both stationed during the Vietnam thing. We were stationed up at Elmendorf Air Force Base and came to know the Lord and really fell in love with Jesus, Yeshua. And ended up becoming pastors. So God was weaving a very interesting tapestry in the middle of all of that. So in 1984, I brought six families from Anchorage to New Hampshire, four Air Force and two Army. Can you imagine to start a New Testament local church? You know, when I was praying about coming here, Jim, a couple words really kept coming up. And one of them was legacy, that you're standing on some pretty tall shoulders here with your dad and those that really imparted to him. And there's a legacy going on here in this place. And God has placed on you an interesting mantle. And, you know, I was reading really stirred with Romans chapter 12. Do you mind if I go here before I get into my lesson? Is that okay? In Romans chapter 12, I think right around verse 8, it talks about, you know, there's different gifts of the Spirit. And there's the Ephesians 4 ministry gifts. There's 1 Corinthians 12, and it gives you the spiritual gifts. But there are motivational gifts as well that are laid out very, very clearly in Romans chapter 12. And let me read them to you.
Hold on.
Let me find it. Talking about Romans 12 or 10. Talking about leadership. And for those of you who have been called to mercy, walk in mercy. For those who have been called to give, then give. To those who have been called to lead, then lead. And God has placed on you a leadership gift. And just as Joshua was called to lead God's people into a different land, you spent time, you prayed, you consecrated, you waited on the Lord. And then all of a sudden the vision changed. And God put on you a leadership mantle to bring these congregations onto a new piece of real estate for a time such as this. And don't get so bogged down on the building, because there's a lot to the building. And you guys have done a magnificent job, but it's only just begun. But he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it to the day of Christ. And I believe that God is really, for times such as this, led you in this Messianic congregation and led, you know, tomorrow's congregation as well. It's not just that you would have a nicer campus or a little bit more square footage. God's heart is for broken people. And we are living in a broken world. And people need the Lord. And for a time such as this, you're here. And when you're putting up the drywall or you're doing these different things that you do, it's not just for you. It's for those God is going to bring, those who are on the heart of God still, to bring into this place that they could not only come into the reality and the blessing of knowing Yeshua, but they would be able to have their lives and their families impacted for eternity because of the work that has begun here in this place. I'm sorry, that was just burning in my heart, and they needed to get it out there because for a time such as this, God has led you in. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but people don't like change. Now, I'm talking about New Hampshire people. I'm sure you guys enjoy it. But back, well, I'll tell you a story. About a year ago, a lady came to our church. I've been there 41 years now. And she came and said, so you're the pastor? I said, yeah. She says, I came here years ago when Pastor Murray was the pastor. I my hair wasn't always this color. And the hair I had was a different color. And I said, oh, how was it? I didn't tell her who I was. But that was me. I've been here from the beginning, and I've been here all along, and it's been an honor, hear me. It's an honor. It's a work, but it's an honor to serve the Lord and to be his hands and feet and to be used for the glory. You know, one of the things, I'm sorry, I'm a little reflective. After 40 years of pastoring, we did some things right. Other things, maybe we could have done better. You know what I mean? We did the best we could with what God gave us. But at the end of the day, not to us, O Lord, but to you be the glory and the honor and the praise for the things that you've done. And thank you for letting us be a part of this thing. Now, I believe that God's called this congregation and tomorrow's too to do more than to just be partakers. But he's called you to pull the wagon. He's called you to reach this area for Yeshua. He's called you to be the salt and light that he wants you to be for this hour and this time. People are broken. They need the balm of Gilead applied. They need a soft touch. They need an uplift of heart and spirit. They need you to rise up and be the men and women of God that he wants you to be. And again, that's just stirring and burning in my heart. I'm delighted to be here at a Messianic service. I'm not what you would call Jewish, I don't think, although I am Sephardic, going back generations. Yeah. And my people, yeah, my last name is Berube, B-E-R-U-B-E. And if I go back to the name, it kind of goes away around 1535. It's gone. And they say, well, it's not really a French name. And they come to realize that its orientation is Barabbi, son of Rabbi. So think about that. So I was on an airplane, an LL flight, going to check things out. And I've been there many, many times. I was on a board with a tycoon. And this Jewish lady from the Bronx said, why are you going to Israel? I said, well, you know, I believe I'm Sephardic and all of that. And I don't know if this is appropriate, but I thought it was so cool. And she says, how do you know you're a Sephardic Jew? I said, well, I had a couple DNA tests. And she says, how much did that cost you? So I said, oh, about $500, you know. When I got both of them involved, she says, what a waste of money. I looked at her. She says, just look in the mirror. That's what she said. And you know what? She's right. And I just give thanks to the Lord for our legacy, for our heritage. I pray for Israel every day. I pray for the hostages every day. I pray against the hate every day, you know. But for a time such as this, you and I are here so that we can make a difference. We can be the salt and light, that we can see the two become one. And this whole truth in Scripture about the one new man, about in one day when you read Romans 9, 10, and 11, open the eyes of their heart, Lord. Open the eyes of their hearts. Help them to see you. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And because of Israel's Messiah, Gentiles like my family, my wife's family, can taste and see that God is good, and they too can find salvation in him. So that's my introduction, and thank you for being with me. I really love these guys. And as far as the missional connections, I'm delighted that my Brazilian / Nepalese friends have been able to come to this house, and you guys have been so good in helping them. But I'm here to bring the word of the Lord because there's a famine in the land for the word of God. And I believe that we need to be people of the word and people of the spirit. Are you with me? We need those two things working together. You know, I've never seen anyone really do well in God who's not in the scriptures. The washing of water by the word of the Lord is so critically important to feed our hearts and minds, you know, in the scriptures. Their life, you know, their life for you and for me. And I want to put in a plug for a friend of mine. His name is Brian Harden. Brian Harden. He's from Nashville. And he's put together a ministry that I think would be a great blessing. You know, this morning I spent time. He's put together something called the Daily Audio Bible, and it's a free app that's available, and he reads the scriptures fresh every morning, And so there's Old Testament, New Testament, and you can go through the whole Bible in a year. And then he does some really insightful commentary. I think that's very helpful too. And he's got a heart. You know, the thing I like about Brian is he's got a heart for Israel and for God's chosen people. And so I'll encourage you to look in on that app. It's free. You can download it on your phone. Every morning, you know, with my coffee is the first thing I do every day, the washing of water by the word of the Lord. Been doing that for about 10 years with that part. It doesn't replace your Bible study or reading, but it's a great addendum. And, you know, sometimes when you hear it, when you read it, we have a tendency of passing over things quickly. And all of a sudden you hear it and you go, man, I don't know that I ever read that. And because you've quickly, you know, speed read over a certain portion or something, but bringing different insights as quickened by God's Holy Spirit, bringing illumination to you, I think is very, very, very helpful. So I want to speak today a portion of Scripture, a very simple lesson that I've shared a few times and really felt stirring of the Lord to bring it here this morning. And it's from Isaiah chapter 61, Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. And you know, I really love the fact that, you know, all Scripture is inspired by God and suitable for teaching and all of that. And before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were codified as Gospels, the book of Isaiah was, I think, in some ways, the fifth gospel that speaks of Yeshua so clearly, so emphatically. And certainly Isaiah 53 in his passion, Isaiah 9:6 talking about God with us and all the different things. But this reflection here was really an anchor point for Jesus' ministry, Yeshua's ministry. And I use those terms interchangeably, not just here, but at home too, because I love the name of the Lord, or the names of the Lord. And so what we're doing is we're realizing, I'm not a preacher, but I am a teacher. I'm one of the few guys that was sent out from Abbot Loop as a pastor teacher. I think, I don't know, but maybe one or two others. But really appreciated that distinction. And you know, when we think of the word Messiah, a very important word, it means the anointed one. We believe that Jesus, Yeshua, was and is the Messiah of God, the one chosen of God to redeem not only Israel, but all the nations of the earth. Before we go too far, talking about the election, Lord, we submit these things to you. And I look at some of the things I'm happy with, some of the things I'm not happy with. But God, at the end of the day, it's not the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, the Whigs and the Tories that are going to save us. It's Him and Him alone. And my salvation is not found in a man. It's in the God-man, Yeshua HaMashiach. And very important that whoever would have won, I would have prayed for them. I would have covered them in prayer. And there are times in our lives, you know, when we go through, you know, the peaks and the valleys of all of that, but to be able to know that He is still on the throne. He's still on the throne. And just so you know, I'm of the opinion that a lot of these global things that are happening, including the tensions that are being felt in Israel currently, are all part of the stage being set for the return of Yeshua. And you know, why does He allow pressures? Why does He allow disappointments? Why does He allow certain things? Ultimately, it's part of the redemptive thread of the Lord wanting to redeem that which is broken and lost, you and me. You say amen to that. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead and look at Isaiah 61, And I'm going to read that through, just verses 1 to 3. And then we're going to put our finger and mark where it is, and we're going to look at two other portions of Scripture from the Gospel of Luke. So there'll be three primary pieces of Scripture here that we're going to look at. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. You know, I really love that part of your ceremony today, where you were taking a moment to mourn with those who are mourning. And that spoke to my heart. And I'm thinking, you know, in our Gentile context, we don't do that all that much. I mean, if you go to a wake or something, maybe you do, but we don't do that all that much on a weekly basis. And yet people are hurting. People are struggling. People need people to come alongside and help hold up their arms. And God, help me be more sensitive to that, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes. Some translations would say, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness or for a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, again, if you would just, that's our primary text. We're going to come back to it. But I want to read two small supportive portions of Scripture first to help lay some foundation, if you would allow me, and then we'll pray. In Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 21, this is really Jesus' coming out ceremony in some ways. He was baptized at the Jordan River on the other side of Jericho. And now he finds himself in the city of Nazareth, his hometown. And as it was his custom, he gets up to read a portion of Scripture. And on this day, he turns to the portion, the text that we just read in Isaiah 61. And let's look at what happened in Luke 4. And he, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, in recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And all the eyes in all the synagogue and the eyes in all the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Now, if you're paying close attention to the reading of the Isaiah 61 portion and the Luke 4 portion, you may have noticed that in the quoting of Isaiah 61, to proclaim the year, of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God. And that speaks to me on who God is. I mean, a year of favor, a day of vengeance. God is a good God. He's a kind God. And he wants to make himself known and real to you and to me. And he wants to help us now heal up our wounds and come out of the doldrums and realize that there is a God who's for us and not against us. Thank you, Lord. Let's fast forward now to Luke 7, and then we'll go back to our original text. You with me? Yeah? Okay. So John the Immerser, John the Baptizer, others call him John the Baptist, called two of his disciples to him, Luke 7:19-23. And he sent them to the Lord, to Jesus, to Yeshua. And he says, are you the one who's to come? Or shall we look for another? And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the one who's to come, or shall we look for another? And in that hour, talking about Yeshua, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. And on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he answered them and said, go and tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who's not offended me. I don't know too many people that could do that. I remember a little story from years ago. We had a school for 20 years. I know you guys had a school here once. And we had a Christian school for 20 years. And one of the things that I wanted to do was to bring each and every student to the mission field and have them capture the Father's heart for the least of these around the world. And we brought a team to Romania. And I think you've met him, Pastor Mihai Dimitrio. And he said, Paul, would you be willing to take your kids to a leper colony? Whoa. He said, well, it's not active anymore because leprosy has been eradicated, you know, with, you know, current medical treatments and all the rest, antibiotics. But people who are ravaged by leprosy are still there, kind of like the forgotten ones. And we try to bring humanitarian aid and do things, and we might be a great thing for your kids to see. So I thought, well, you know, yeah, I'd be glad to do that. So we put some aid together. We went, and we met a lady, a lovely lady, in that she loved Jesus. I mean, loved him to the depth of her being. And she started talking to our kids, especially to our young girls, high schoolers now. And she said, you know, are you happy with how you look? Look at me. And you would think I'd feel pretty sorry for myself because look at me. But I thank God that in that I found him. In that, in my heartbreak, in my disappointment, in the ravage that overtook me and left me just, in the world's eyes, seemingly hopeless and helpless, I have the joy of the Lord in my heart, and this is my strength. Jesus is the only one that could do these things listed in Isaiah chapter 61. So let's bow our head. That was my introduction. We'll get into our lesson now after this prayer. You think I'm kidding? I'm sorry. Line upon line, precept upon precept. But you're not here for baby food. I want to give you the truth because the truth will set us free. Amen. Lord, I just thank you for your word. And I thank you that it never returns void. And God, I pray that you would just use me. In my weakness, God, use me to be able to bring something that could give an uplift of heart and spirit to your people. Because we need you, and we need the power, God, of your Holy Spirit to move in the midst of us, to move in us. God, that you would set these captives free, us, in a way that only you can. In Yeshua's name I pray. So let's look at verse 1 one more time. We'll break down each of the three verses, and we'll parse out the pieces and maybe pick up a point or two that might have life application for us. You with me here? Yeah? All right. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. You ever been there? You brokenhearted today? You know, we can sing all the slappy happy songs. But life is tough. And I don't know about you, but I've got days where I'm hurting. And I need the joy of the Lord to be my strength. And I need God to come alongside me and hold my hands up. And maybe you do too. And to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. The Son is set free, is free indeed. You know, one writer says, Jesus, the anointed one, this is his summary of the text, with the power of God, came to undo all that sin had done. In the Epistle of John, it actually says that the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And whatever part that played in bringing ravage to your world or mine. Jesus anointed with power, yet his purpose was to preach good tidings to the meek and the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to set free those who are bound. And to proclaim a favorable year of the Lord. You know, that word destroy is the biblical word luo, which means to loosen. And it's like Jesus came to loosen at the seams everything the enemy has done, that he would set us free by the power of God's Holy Spirit. And his anointing was there to tear at the seams of darkness, undoing the works of the evil one, of setting people free who are in bondage, of healing people who had broken hearts, you and me and probably all of us, and to bind up our wounds, and to proclaim liberty and freedom to the captives. I mean, I'm just grateful to God. That he meets us at our point of need. That we don't have to come in here and play the make-believe. I'm on top of the world. Everything's okay. You know, Jesus has been the fix that made everything good. Now we're all driving Mercedes. No, it's not baloney stuff. He walks us through the thick of it all. And he's faithful and he's true. And he's good. And he's for us and not against us. Thank you, Lord. Liberty to the captives, opening prison doors, proclaiming the favorable year of the Lord. And he's come to comfort those who mourn. I want to read that through. To grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I couldn't help but think when I was putting this together, you know, we did that mourning thing. What do you call the amita? That's what I said. It's all Hebrew to me. Yeah. Before sin came on the scene, there was never any mourning. Nothing. No mourning before sin came on the scene. But sin brings with it mourning and suffering and pain and all the stuff that humanity has been dealing with ever since the fall. Yeah? You know, when someone sins against us, we mourn. Is that true? When we sin, if Holy Spirit convicts us, we mourn it. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. You know, what was I thinking? But even in that, in the mourning, God comforts us. You know, that word comfort That's one of the names. Jesus was the Comforter. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter, the Parakletos. But it literally means to encourage. So it's like someone's warning, and then a bud comes alongside and puts their arm around them and holds them up. And that's what the Lord is wanting to do for you and for me. It's like, yes, thank you, Lord. When we're downcast and discouraged, he's right there to come alongside us and to lift us out of the dredges. You know, one writer, I want to use this illustration, said, this is what it's like. Use a, what is that? Any English teacher share a simile? I think this what this would be, metaphorically speaking. A child is walking down a dark road, can't see anything, and is scaring the bejeebers out of them. Yeah? Bejeebers, look it up. Or picture that same child walking down a cold, dark road with his hand in his father's hair, knowing it's okay. Sometimes we just need the Lord to come alongside of us and assure us that it's going to be okay. And that's not only what he can do. I'm sorry, I'm emotional today. That's what he's wanting to do because he loves you so much. Beauty for ashes, yeah. You think about ashes when things burn down, there's nothing left, you know. When someone died in Israel, Jews would often put ashes on their foreheads. I think Catholics do it on Ash Wednesday, right? But the Jewish people, yeah. But as a reminder of our mortality, but at other times, it's the ashes motif is meant to be, we want to repent and get right with God, you know, sackcloth and ashes, right? Yeah. But I read it to you from the ESV, and it was a little bit of a different rendition that I didn't like quite as much. I like the beauty for ashes all the time. And he gave them a headdress. And I went, what is that all about? But in Hebrew, that word beauty comes off as headdress. And a priest would have a headdress on as they came into the holy place. And in some ways, Exodus 29 speaks of headgear that the priest would wear. And instead of ashes on your head, God's given you a crown or headgear that makes it easier to hold up your head when you couldn't do it on your own. It's like, whoa. Wow. And the oil of joy for mourning. I don't know about you, but I need to hear this. Because sometimes there are tough days, you know, along the way, aren't there? And I've had more than once, God, if you don't show up, I'm dead. You know. But we need the Lord to be the glory and the lifter of our heads, don't we? Yeah. Oil of joy for mourning. You think of oil, it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit, of joy and of grace. And what does the Bible say? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Yeah, for sure. And that leads us into the next verse. And then he gives us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. There was a man, I'm sure Pat will remember this, named Merlin Carruthers. Mm-hmm. He wrote a series of books called Prison, From Prison to Praise. You know, you feel like you're in prison, feel like you're all pent up. What will break you out of it? Praise is befitting the upright, the power of praise and the importance of all of that. Garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. What do you do when you're down? You go to the Lord. God, I praise you. I feel so bad right now. And yet, God, I know that I can turn to you and that you're for me and not against me. God, I know that you want to be the glory and the lifter of my head. God, I ask you to help me, Lord. Help me to, whatever is good, whatever is right, whatever is lovely, to let my mind dwell on these things. God, help me not to focus on the things that will cause me to spiral, but who the Son has set free is free indeed. God, would you have your way in me? I need you, Lord. In my weakness, would you be strong, O God, and be the glory and lifter of my head? So it talks about a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Whoa, now I'm meddling. What's a spirit of heaviness? Well, is that a demon? Well, you know, lighten up. Maybe it could be, but you know, sometimes it's just vexation. Sometimes it's wrong thinking, stinking thinking that we do sometimes. The ESV calls it a fate spirit. Another translation calls it a spirit of weakness. Another calls it a spirit of despair. Kind of like the Eeyore spirit, woe is me type thing, yeah? But there are verses in Isaiah, interestingly, in chapter 42, that speak of this. A bruised reed he will not break. And a smoking flax he will not quench. Smoking flax, that heaviness, that feeling like the flame's really dimmed and it's about ready to go out, that spirit of heaviness. I really believe that this spirit of heaviness is maybe some spiritual vexation, maybe some wrong thinking, maybe nothing more than an attitude of heaviness of heart and mind that then gives the enemy opportunity to gain advantage on me. When God says, and yet, I don't want that for you. I want to set you free. I want to take you out of that. Amen? And I could do that with a garment of praise. You know, put it on like you would a jacket, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Take off the spirit of heaviness and put on the garment of praise. You know, in Romans 13, in verse 12, it says, the night is far gone. The day is at hand. So let's cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. You know, some of us have been just kind of neutralized by stinking thinking and the spirit of heaviness so long. It's time for us to get back into healthier rhythms that can help us break out. And how do we break out? By praising the Lord, whatever is good, whatever is right, whatever is lovely, to be back in the Word, to begin to say, Lord, would you help me by your Holy Spirit to look up and not down? Help me to be a positive person and not negative. You know, help me not play into the traps that the enemy is wanting to set for me emotionally. You know, just wanting to make me among the Les Miserables. God, I don't want to live there. I don't want to be there. You've given me beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Well, the last few verses, and this is just expository preaching, so I'm just, it's what I do. Sorry, I'm not as entertaining as I should be, probably, but I am who I am by the grace of God. That we may be called oaks of righteousness. Wait a minute. All these broken snapshots, you know? And then all of a sudden, putting on the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, and now the net result of those transitions is we come out of the doldrums and we become the oaks of the Lord. Yeah.
the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified, that the work of God was done in us. Now, listen, you know, when I look at buildings and I look at regions, and some great things are going to happen here, some great things. I'm prophesying that. I'm speaking it in faith, trusting and believing that God is going to fill this place again and again, and that this is not for you. This is for you to put your hand to the plow so them can come. And I believe that God is going to do some really good stuff. So it's not just about building a nice little clubhouse for the gang. It's not who we are and not what we do. But what does it say here? That we can be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I don't know if it's just because I'm old, but I found myself just reflecting a lot. How about you? I'm 72. I'm grateful. He delivered. I went through the 60s and didn't die. I'm grateful. Spent time in the military. I didn't die. I'm grateful. Have seen the goodness of the Lord and the grace of God and the favor of God and the presence of God, and to be given purposefulness and all of that. Let's all stand if we could do that.
My life is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. It's in you, it's in you. I'll praise you with all of my heart. Praise you with all of my strength. With all of my heart. With all of my strength. All my hope is in you.
Yeah, this is special.
We use the very best stairs for our very best friends. Amen. Be seated. That's a good word. You talk about line by line, precept on precept, and that's very much where we're at today. And you wouldn't know, but last week I spoke on a Zoe life. And it was kind of a launch into a soft series on who we are in him. So this message is very much part of that soft series. You like how we coordinated that? But you can see the same spirit works. The same spirit works in somebody in Milwaukee, and same spirit works in somebody from New Hampshire. So, you got, yeah, right. He said he grabbed my notes off the internet. So I do want to... Let's receive an offering for him. Let's do it. Let's bless him. You know, it's nice. It's an interesting thing. This is very selfish. We have people who come in and they share. Not very often. In fact, we went a whole year without anybody coming at all. But it's nice when we receive, but then we give. You know, we bless. What is a movie nowadays? It's like $12 a person, right? And that's a movie. There's no value. You know, we just heard a good breakdown of the word and application of the word in our lives. If you want to write a check, that's okay. Write to BethMessiah.us. In just a minute, I'll call them up. I'm going to give you a second to prepare if you're doing checks or whatever. So I know not all of you know about us here at Beth Messiah. I just want to tell you who we are. We're a bunch of Jews and Gentiles following the one Messiah. That's what we are. And we believe very much in having outreach to the Jewish community because somebody's got to do it. And when we go to the Jewish community, we don't make the Jewish community become Christians. Most Jews who are here that are Bethites don't identify as Christians. That word wasn't even invented for 100 years after Yeshua walked the earth. And when it came as a derogatory word. Yeshua himself was Jewish, and his boys, his disciples were Jewish, and the neighborhood he went to in the beginning when, with his ministry was Jewish. with a couple exceptions, very small exceptions, a Samaritan woman, a few others. So here we are in 2024, and we live the same way. We think if a Jew gives their life to the Lord, they're still Jewish. They don't become a Christian. And when a Gentile gives their life to the Lord, they don't even have to call themselves Christian if they don't want to either. Just follow the one, follow the Son, follow the Messiah, the same Messiah. And, you know, it really weirds people out. Bethites have heard me say this before. If you really want to blow a Jew's mind, just say you're following a Jewish rabbi. It's true. So this is our message here at Beth Messiah. We carry out the Jews, we carry out the Gentiles. Anybody who wants to worship in this way, this traditional way, very Jewish way, really. And we love it. We love it. We're blessed by it. That's our vision. That's what we're about. It's not for everybody. It's not for the weak. Those people go to churches. I'm kidding. But it's not for everybody. It's our vision, and it's what we do, and it's blessed to be part of it. So please do come on forward, gentlemen. And when you come up, we'll pause for a minute, and then we're just going to pray. We want to pray for Pastor Paul and his family. Lord God, we are blessed to receive this man, this very good friend of my family and a good friend of ours here. We're blessed for his influence on us today. Thank you for using him for this message. We pray, Lord, that the message grows well in us, that it finds its fertile ground and it does what it needs to do in your word, that we can encourage others through this. Lord, I also want to pray for blessings for his family and his congregation that sent him, that let him come and be and share today. And we pray for blessings on them as well, too. We thank you for that kind of ministry support that he has there so he can come here and we can have this wonderful relationship between our two places. Thank you for him. Thank you for this time. And thank you for the chance to bless him and send him along with a few shekels, God, with ministry in this way that we get to support him and to say we love him this way. Thank you, Lord. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. All right, here they're coming. Oh, yep, they're come on up, guys. Do your thing. Have you already collected? Boy, I don't even know. So they'll do it. You know, if you get a moment, please do pray for my dad, Rabbi Frank, who is right now in the Philippines. He's working with the Philippians. I don't know why Philippines and Philippians looks the same to me. He loves it over there. He was there in the Air Force back in the day as a non-believer. So when he goes there now, he has a very different view of it, and he loves it. It's very sweet to him. It's like he has a real love for the Filipino people. I tell you, one of my dad's problems is every time he goes someplace, he really loves the people there. You know, he does. He'd been all through Mexico. And I say, why do you keep going to Mexico? I think he counted in 30 something times he's gone. So why do you keep going to Mexico? Oh, I love the people. Okay. So wherever he goes, if he would go to Paris, he would say, I love Paris. I love the Parisians. You know, he connects really quickly. And then he always goes back because he connects. And I asked him, I said, do you want to go to Nepal with me? No, no. Because you know what'll happen? He'll love the Nepalese, you know, and he'll say, I want to go back. So it's a good problem. But do pray for his safety. It's a long trip and just his health. You know, that's what I mean by that. And that he has energy to minister the way he's going to minister and talk to the people he's going to talk to. He's got lots and lots and lots of people to talk to. I think he's speaking in a group of, I don't know, a couple thousand or something like that. He's also doing a lot of leadership, coaching one-on-one, and then some small groups of leaders who are trying to learn the messianic view of the scriptures. So very much the stuff that we teach here at Beth Messiah, the stuff that Paul shared here this morning, the messianic view. Israel matters in these days, and it's through a Jewish Messiah that the whole world has light. The whole world will see the way through him. So please stand up, and we'll close our service out. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for worshiping. It was a good thing that we got to do it together. We have such a little bit of time every week. That's all we have, but this is it. We're together. That's a blessing. Yevarecha Adonai vo yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panav eliecha vihu neka. Yesei Adonai panav aliecha v'yaseim lacha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Shalom, the inside-out peace that only he brings. So be blessed. Our two elders will be here after service, and they're going to be standing, and they're going to look to be praying with anybody that wants prayer. Seek the King for answers in your life and healing. So they'll be doing that. Down the hall, there is coffee, and that's Oneg. That's a third part of the service, singing the word and Oneg. And there's fellowship everywhere through the building. So just be blessed. Have a great time. Say hello to Pastor Paul. Welcome him. And I'll see you later.